Good morning, friends. This is Joel Martin with you for the Everlasting Word. Now, today's message is going to come from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. And the thought for today's message is, there is no profit in worldly living. Now, those of us that have been in church all our life, or most of our life, we've heard that taught, we've heard that preached, and if we've really applied that to our life, we understand that if we try to live this life apart from God, there is no profit in it. There's really no true happiness. You know, but there's a world out there that social media wants to teach us, you know, the TV wants to teach us that we go after these things. We try to live after more financial gain, more stature, more popularity, more this, more that, and that's what's going to bring you happiness. But in the end, it's not going to bring you that happiness. Now, here's Solomon in Ecclesiastes 1, where he says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem." He says in verse 2, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Now, if we were to stop right there, that sounds like a very negative verse. And if we were to stop that right there, we'd say, you know, we're all doomed. We have no hope. Let's just pack it in. We're going to die, and that's it. But that's not what Solomon's saying. Solomon is trying to get his audience's attention and the reader's attention that living this life apart from a relationship with God, that when you get to the end of your life and you reflect back, that you're going to see that you have profited nothing, that everything that you've accomplished, everything that you've done in life is all in vain, because you're not going to take none of it with you. And Jesus, his own self, said in Mark 8:36, he said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" So, Solomon is not being negative here. He's just trying to get the audience's attention. And like I said, the reader's attention. When we say the readers, we're talking like myself and yourself. He's saying everything's in vain according to this world. But there is hope beyond this world. And then Solomon asks a very profound question in verse 3. He says, "What profit hath the man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun?" Now, basically, in a nutshell, what Solomon might be saying here is, what's the point? What's the point? Have you thought about what the point of life is, what the reason of life is? And we probably all, at one time or another in our life, we've probably kind of wondered, what's the point? But Solomon is asking that question, what profit hath a man? What's it profiting you? Now, there were some Epicurean philosophers, those Epicureans being of the Greeks, they believed that there was nothing better than the carnal enjoyment of the pleasures of life. Now, see, doesn't that sound like this world today? And Solomon gets to this, that nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. There's nothing new. The Epicurean philosophers taught that. And if we're not careful, we'll let our television, we'll let social media, we'll let society teach us that very same philosophy. But then Solomon is wondering, what kind of profit is he talking about? Is he talking about financial gain? Is he talking about popularity, stature, be it authority, some kind of power? So what kind of profit is he really referring to? But then Solomon gets to the point here, beginning in verse 4. He points out the vicious cycle of nature. And he says, and man is a part of that. He says here in verse 4, he says, one generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. So what he's saying is, there's going to come a day we're going to die. We're going to pass away. As the Bible teaches us, it is appointed once unto man to die, and then the judgment. But see, the thing that this world and Satan very subtly wants to do to you and I is to get us distracted from the truth that, yes, we're going to die one day. And then after we die, this physical death here on this earth, we're going to stand in judgment, whether it be at the judgment seat of Christ or whether it be at the great white throne judgment, that one way or another, we're going to stand in judgment. And that is a cold reality of God being our creator, that we will all answer to him one way or another. We will answer to him as his child at the judgment seat of Christ, or we will hear those words, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you," at the great white throne judgment. But see, he says, you're going to pass away. And then there's going to be a generation come that's going to replace you. And then in verses 5-7, he gives some metaphors of man's perpetual cycle of trying to satisfy themselves with earthly things. For he gives the metaphor here in verse 5 of the sun. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to its place where he arose. The sun comes up, and the sun goes right back down to where it came from. And then, in verse 6, he speaks of the wind. He said, the wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. In other words, it went right back to where it came from. And then he points out the rivers and the seas in verse 7. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place whence the rivers come, thither or there they return again. So it's just a vicious cycle of nature. It just goes right back to where it started from. And that's the same comparison here with a man trying to live his life apart from God. It's just a vicious cycle. You can't get enough. You can't get enough. You accomplish this. You accomplish that. But yet you find yourself right back where you started from, trying to satisfy yourself again. For the world will not fill that void that is inside of us, that is put inside of us by the one true living God, for mankind to have a relationship and to walk and to talk with the living God. That's what brings satisfaction in our life. That's what brings fulfillment in our life. These things of this world, we will just find ourselves in a vicious cycle going right back to where we started from. We'll accomplish one thing, but we need more satisfaction. We can't be satisfied. Somebody else has got something that we want. We covet after that. We can't be satisfied, so we got to labor towards something else. And once we achieve that, we're right back where we started from, because we're not satisfied. We're dissatisfied. We're discontent. And we got to keep working and laboring towards something else. But see, what we need to be able to rest in is the work that Jesus Christ did for us by living a perfect life on this earth. He never sinned. He was able, by him living that sinless life, he was able to go to the cross of Calvary for my stead and for your stead, and to be that spotless Lamb of God and shed his blood. He bore my sin. He bore your sin. He said, I'm guilty. I am guilty. He that knew no sin became sin. He became guilty for you and I. He died that humiliating, horrifying death for you and I, so that you and I could be born again and have the Spirit of God, that earnest in our heart, that when this life is over, or he comes back and raptures the church, that we will abide with him and be joint heirs with him to his Father's throne. That is what will satisfy the longing in a man's heart. But see, mankind keeps wanting to come up with different solutions apart from God. In other words, they want to worship the work of their own hands, the work of their own solutions, and say, look what I did. Look what I came up with. Look what I developed. But see, we have to understand that there is no remedy on this earth for the curse of sin that is on mankind. The only remedy for the curse of sin that is on mankind is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that He shed on the cross of Calvary for my sin and for your sin. That is what will bring satisfaction in a person's life. That is what will bring contentment. That is what will bring that relationship, that knowing our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And one day we will stand face to face with Him, and our faith will end in sight when He takes us by the hand and leads us through the promised land. But see, man is perpetually trying to satisfy themselves with earthly things, and it cannot be done. For see, in verse 8, it says, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. So Solomon is pointing out that man is willing to labor and to sacrifice everything that they have to satisfy themselves. But once they've gotten to that point and achieved their goal, we realize that we're dissatisfied even more. And we got to achieve more. We got to work harder. And if we were really willing to sacrifice for our Lord and Savior as much as we're willing to sacrifice for things of this world would be a better place to live. This world would have revival. This world would repent and turn our filthy hearts and our filthy spirits to the true and the living God, and we would commune with Him, and He would cleanse our souls, He would cleanse our hearts, He would cleanse our minds, and this world would be a much, much, much better place to live. But mankind, in our stubbornness and in our pride, won't even look with an eye of faith toward God. Won't even look. It's like when God instructed Moses to make the brazen serpent, and He said, lift it up. And He said, and whosoever is bitten by the serpents, if they will just look upon the brazen serpent, just look upon it, that they shall be saved, that they shall not die. But whosoever would not even look upon it, they died of the snake bites. But see, the pride of man, the stubbornness of man, we won't even look to God with an eye of faith. But friends, if we're going to have a relationship with Him, if we're going to walk and talk with Him in His paths of righteousness for His name's sake, friends, we got to look with an eye of faith and say, Lord, I have no remedy. I have no cure for the condition of my heart. Lord, I put my faith, I surrender to You. I put my faith in the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I'm a sinner, and Lord, please save my soul. That is the remedy for our sin, for our sin-cursed souls. That and that alone is the remedy. But see, the things of this world cannot satisfy us. We were created by a holy and a righteous God that wants to have a relationship with us, and that alone is what will satisfy our yearning hearts and bring meaning and bring purpose to this life. And that's today's message. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope it's been a help to you. Until next week, this is Joel Martin.